Welcome to the Storyteller's Tavern. My name is Mush Hughes.
I'm Lee Northrup.
And together, we talk to makers and artists to learn more about the stories behind their projects and creative journeys so far. Thanks for joining us here in the Tavern for Chapter 5, where all of our stories were told during WorkbenchCon 2024 in Atlanta, Georgia. J. Paul the Carpenter is a singer-songwriter turned builder, raised in the hustling streets of Dallas, Texas, who then moved to the creative hub of ATL. Lee and I talk with J. Paul about his journey from working on military aircraft to getting nominated for the Grammys, the mentors he first believed in and thereby empowered him, and how that guides what he does today, and about focusing the power of the maker community into a swarm of positive impact. Welcome back to the Tavern, friends. We are here with J. Paul the Carpenter, Jared Foster. Welcome to the Tavern.
Man, appreciate you for having me, man.
Thanks so much for joining us. So, welcome to the Tavern. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, maybe how you got to be here. I don't even know where to start with you. I'm so excited to hear your stories.
Yeah. So what I'm doing now is just a lot of home renovations. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten into home renovations because it was a natural progression. So initially I was just doing carpentry, woodworking, making day bed swings, making tables, you know, stuff like that. And then from there, I have a mentor here in Atlanta. He's like known for being like one of the best contractors in Atlanta. So I met him, hung out with him a couple times. He took me to a couple places, a couple clients' houses. And then from there, I was like, I like doing this. He was interested in, he liked my attention to detail. So a lot of his guys, they are master carpenters, they're master woodworkers. But he was like, man, your attention to detail and your creativity is just different. So I just want to bring you in. And initially, I was just supposed to be a project manager. Then I turned it, that turned into, hey, can you build everything? Can you fix everything everybody else has messed up? I was like, bro, come on, man. So then I went to doing that and just start, you know, building stuff for him. But I was like, man, I really like working on people's houses. And I just have a passion for helping people. You know what I'm saying? There's like a lady in my neighborhood, Miss Linda. She's been in our neighborhood for a long time. And I just wanted to like see how I can help her to fix her house and, you know, get things going in her house, make things look better in her house. And other people around me, just help them out some. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people just don't have the money to do it. So, yeah, that's where I am currently.
So when I saw your name on the speaker list, uh-huh, I was so excited, just because it seems like you are a cool guy. You have not disappointed. Your energy is electric,
yep,
and I just love that. And I'm drawn to people with really good energy. Like,
yeah,
and you get up there with the mic, and it's like, game on. Let's go. Let's get after
right.
this. We share a good friend, Char.
Yes, indeed.
And it was cool because I'm talking to her one night. I was like, you think J. Paul will be on the podcast? And she's like, hold on. He said yes. it was that quick.
Yep.
So we're just really feel blessed to have you as a part of the program.
Yeah.
You and I started talking last night. Woodworking wasn't your original jam.
It wasn't.
Can you walk us down the road of kind of how you got there and where you started as a creative spirit?
Yep. So initially I moved to Atlanta because I was on tour. I was on tour with an artist, and we had a song together. And it was Grammy nominated. And I was like, that's interesting. I wasn't even trying to do that. I was just like, hey, let's get on this song. Let's make it sound good, you know, whatever. So when he asked me to go on tour, he lives here in Atlanta. And I was like, you know what? I'm moving to Atlanta. And I moved here. I was on the road for 2 years. And I was tired of being in hotels, being in tour buses, airplanes every other day. I was a resident of Atlanta for 2 years. I probably touched Atlanta soil maybe 6 months out of that 2 years.
Wow.
So I was like, man, come on. I just need to find something different. So I decided to come off the road. And I'm at that time now, I'm 30, 31. And I'm like, I need to figure out something else to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just need to figure out something else to do. And I just started building stuff at home. With pallets, with scrap wood that I would find around, you know, whatever. So I just started making tables. I was making just anything. I was making tables. I was making day bed swings, you know, whatever. And my then girlfriend, my now wife, shout out to my boo, Aaron, you know, she ended up asking me to build a day bed swing. And I built it and I posted about it. And one of my friends, he's into marketing, and he texted me and was like, hey, bro, you need to be like selling these things. I was like, bro, nobody's going to buy this. Like, nobody's paying for this, bro. You tripping. And I posted it, and I posted the price on Facebook on a Facebook group in our neighborhood. And within a week, 20 people were sending deposits.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
What have I done?
And I'm like, this is kind of crazy. Like, this is kind of crazy that people really want to do this stuff. I want to buy this stuff. And then I wanted to expand a little bit more and build tables. So now learning how to flip the grains before I glue up stuff and, you know, stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, now I can get into a little bit more woodworking, start following different people. And, I mean, it was just like, again, that was even a natural progression. So it was a natural progression from carpentry and woodworking, but a natural progression for me from the music into this space. Mm. Only because I say natural progression and I didn't explain it, but it was a natural progression because my stepdad had already taught me when I was 16, 17, 18 years old how to build stuff, work on cars, mm-hmm. build stuff around the house. And then when I was around between 18 and 23, I worked on military airplanes. Mm-hmm. So I used to build the Black Hawk helicopters, Gulfstream 4 and 5, C-17, all the Boeing aircrafts, the Global Hawk spy plane. So I used to build all of those. So I knew how to build already. And then from there, it just went into, let me just use the knowledge that I currently have to go into something different that I really don't know anything about. If I can drill and cut titanium, I can drill and cut some wood. I think I'm okay. So yeah, that's what it was.
Mush, how many times do we have to hear this story? Because it's such a common story about mm-hmm. the person that's building military aircrafts and then becomes a Grammy-nominated artist yeah. and then decides that he doesn't want to live on a tour bus anymore, so he starts making stuff out of pallets. It's just such a common story.
Long-time listeners are sick of this one.
Right. That's hilarious. Man, I don't know. I don't know how it happened.
So I wonder if you could talk at all, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, about the common themes between those three in terms of the creativity aspect of it, the creation aspect to it. What does that mean to you?
So, okay, say more.
So of all the three, I mean, making aircraft, making music, making stuff with wood, there's that common thread of the making, the creation of the being in the driver's seat with that.
Yeah.
How has that felt similar? How has it been wildly different?
So it's definitely similar for me. So for me, personally, I've been able to treat woodworking like I would treat music in you're promoting a single. So for me, I started off doing daybed swings.
Mm-hmm.
That was my main thing. So I promoted that single for 2 years. Then I came up with another single, which is a table. Now I get a chance to promote that single for another 2 years. Now I'm doing closets, and this is a new single. People are now seeing something new from me or hearing something new from me. Now I promote that single. Now I've created a mixed bag of things that I can create and do, and I have the charisma in front of the camera, and I have the ability to throw in music or do a music video showing how a day in the life of a woodworker. And I'm using music to tell people, to show people that woodworking is cool too. A lot of people look at us and say, "Oh, I own a Fortune 500 company and you know whatever." But then they look at the woodworker and they go, "Oh, you're a woodworker. Nah, this is dope, bro. Like the stuff we do. I guarantee you, you couldn't put some of this stuff together. I guarantee you, you don't have the creativity to put a lot of this stuff together. So okay, you got what you got." But that wasn't my path. My path is this path. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of the path that I've taken to get to where I am and get to where I'm going.
I absolutely love everything that you're saying, because the inspiration that you can provide tomorrow's makers, tomorrow's mm-hmm. woodworkers is phenomenal.
Yep.
And I guess just if you want to talk about it, you can be like, I decline comment on this. But as a black man,
yep.
this, a lot of this room and a lot of kind of that woodworking scene is white guys with beards.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're talking to a couple of them right now. But
right.
I love the fact that you have gone down this road of like, it doesn't matter what I look like.
Yep.
We're in this together. We're creative spirits. And I'm going to set an example, like I said, for that next generation where people can be like, he looks like me.
Yep.
And I want to be creative just like J. Paul. I love the music. I love the creative spirit. I love the intelligence. I love the building, the engineering, all of those things. And that's a role model for me.
Right. So I'm so big into that. Because so just a little story. When I first got started building, I was on tables. I was on my second single at this point. So I was on tables.
Track two.
Yeah. Right. And the neighborhood that I live in is a transitioning neighborhood. So it's still a little hood, but you know, it's transitioning a little bit. And I was at a Kroger down the street from my house, and I saw four guys following an older guy who had stolen one of those four guys' little sister's bikes. So he's walking, he goes up to another guy, and these four teenagers, like 16, 17, 18-year-old teenagers, are about to try to get this little sister's bike back. And one of the guys pulled out a gun, and I turn around and I look. At the same time that I look, he pulled out the gun and shot the boy in the chest and killed him.
God.
So I got so upset about it. And I'm from Texas, so I'm always carrying. I'm not carrying right now. But I was so upset about it, I just ran up, like without thinking, I just ran up there, and the guy got in the car and drove off. And the guy on the bike got on the bike. He took off. The other three boys, they took off running because they didn't know what to do. And as they're coming back, the police are showing up. And all the other adults that saw what happened, we're up there calling 911, you know, whatever. And one of the guys, his name was Jeff, and I got his phone number as the police were talking to him, trying to investigate what was going on. The police put him in handcuffs, and I was like, why are y'all putting them in handcuffs? They are the victims. Like, there's no reason for y'all to do this. And eventually they took him out of handcuffs. I got Jeff's phone number, and I used to see him in the neighborhood, and one day I just went and picked him up. And I brought him over to the house, and I was building a table, and I showed him how to build this table. And he paused for a second after we put this table together, and he was just looking and just started crying. And he was like, bro, nobody's ever shown me how to do anything like this, and I like doing it. And if you would have never showed me how to do this, I wouldn't know that I could do it.
Right.
So I just got passionate about showing young black men, bro, this is fun stuff. And if you don't want to go to college, or you do want to go to college, or whatever it is you want to do, you can still do this. Like, there are people who go to college for business and learn how to turn this into a full cabinet business. Mm-hmm. So you can do this, and you can have fun doing it, and you can bring your charisma, you can bring your attitude, your fun-loving attitude and all that into what it is that you do. Because I just feel like, man, God has given you something special. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you have. Mm-hmm. So there's something different that somebody else can bring into this. Just because we're both black doesn't mean that we both do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just because y'all are both white don't mean that y'all both do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Y'all have something different. Everybody in this room, there's hundreds of people in this room right now, and everybody in this room has something specific to them that nobody else can do. So, yeah, I mean, I just like to you know, speaking about, you know, younger black guys, bringing them, the younger black generation, bringing them into it. I just like to encourage younger black guys to, hey, man, pick up something, learn how to build something, learn how to do something with your hands, especially if you don't see anything else that you want to do. So
the word empowerment just kind of just resonates through everything that you're saying. And obviously a terrible start to the story. But what a beautiful ending where that kid had you to be a mentor and be like, listen, somebody believes in me.
Yep.
And whether it's in the form of woodworking or something else, like just for people to know that somebody cares and somebody's going to sit down with them and show them something or learn with them and work with them. Like, it's empowering across the board. So I love what you're doing and how you're doing it. I don't think that this heart just came naturally to you.
Yeah.
Where, like, did you have some people in your life that were those inspirations for you and helped empower you to be the person you are today?
Absolutely. So I grew up in the church, and I don't know where everybody is, everybody listening. I don't know where you are, you know, with religion or whatever. But I personally, myself, I grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. And I had mentors who just came along and taught me the Bible. And from there, from them teaching me the Bible, those people were also people who were musicians. And one of those people, he's an artist named Lecrae, and he's been one of my mentors since I was 18 years old. So he was one of the ones that were like, and also another guy named BJ Thompson. He's been one of my mentors. And they grabbed me by the collar and was like, listen, bro, you've got way too much potential. We can't let you run off and just kill yourself. Mm. So we're going to teach you something. We're going to teach you and show you something different. And another guy named Tadashi, he's also a Christian hip-hop artist. They took me on the road singing and doing background for them, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. And I had never been outside of Texas. Outside of in high school, I was in choir. And I went to New York one time. But other than that, I mean, my vacation was in Houston. My vacation was in San Antonio. And I had never been out of Texas and seen the United States, let alone the world. And they took me and were like, you have a gift. You can sing. We're going to show you what you can do and the people that you can affect. And I remember one of the songs that I did that was really big with Lecrae, the very first time I did an arena show with him. It's a packed arena. I wasn't planning on going on stage. And he walks off the stage, hands me the mic, and he was like, this is your part.
Wow.
And I walked out on the stage, and there's 18,000 people. And I start singing, and they already know the lyrics.
Yes.
And I was like, this is nuts. Like, this is crazy. So stuff like that, like, people need to know that somebody believes in them. Lecrae passing me that microphone at that point was me going to get Jeff and showing him how to build that table.
Yep.
And showing him, I believe in you, bro. Like, I'm not going to let you go down a crazy path and mess up your entire life. Jeff has a couple kids, but Jeff now, instead of him being out on the streets, he's now got a job. He's got a car. He's doing better for himself because somebody showed him that they believed in him. So yeah, man.
I love the comparison between passing a mic to somebody in front of 18,000 people and building a table.
Yeah.
Because what you're describing, it just goes back to that word empowerment.
Yep.
Like it's telling somebody, I believe in you, just in a different form. You got this. You're passing the mic. You pass the mic to him through the form of building a table.
That's it.
And so I did not grow up in a church, but that church community is so special. And this maker community, just in a different form, reminds me a lot of that, because those people are getting together for a common reason. I'm a musician as well. You and I have talked about that. And I grew up, but like my primary, why I play music is through praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get around those people, we're there for the same reason. We're there, you know, to praise Jesus, to learn the good word and to make the world a better place, hopefully. Like that's our goal in this room. These people are here to help each other.
Yep.
These people are here to be creative together. And these people are here to make
the
world
a better place
hopefully. And there's a lot of similarities. Obviously, you take the religion out of it, but there's a lot of similarities between how the community believes in each other in a church and how the community believes in each other here.
Yeah. I mean, that was part of the reason why I created the t-shirts for this year. I created them because, so number one, I don't know if y'all seen them or not, but the front of it says Swarm.
Mm-hmm.
And the back of it is a carpenter bee.
Mm-hmm.
And
I need one, by the way.
Yeah,
got you.
Make sure you get one of those. But so when I thought about it, I was like, when I was thinking about it, I was like, carpenter bee. But then I was like, no, we need a team name.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a fierce team name, not just the carpenter bees. Ooh. Like, but if you say this is a swarm of people,
right.
Like, I've seen...
The shirts are walking by as we speak
right now. Right,
so.
Right, right. I've seen people who don't really know each other, but we know each other from Workbench Con, somebody will get on their post and say something, and then somebody else from Workbench come will fly in like, hold on, wait a minute, calm down, calm down. We know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We've been studying this, and even if this person doesn't fully know what it is they're doing, we are all still learning.
Yep.
So I'm like, man, this is a swarm of creators and makers who have created a family all over the United States. We have created a family. Uh-oh. Sorry. All over the United States, we have created a family of us to where we can, we support each other.
Uh-huh.
And if you mess with one of us, Muhammad Ali said, we float like a butterfly, but we sting like a bee.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So keep messing with us if you want to. So that was my heart behind making that shirt, was so everybody felt like we're a part of a team. And, you know, the bee with the nails and all of that stuff, I mean, it just speaks to what it is that we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the carpenter bee, I mean, it just speaks to what it is that we do, the way we create. And, you know, it just looks cool as well.
It's an awesome shirt.
Right.
This has been just an incredibly impactful episode. And sometimes we turn off these mics and we're just big deep breath and we're like, wow, like what just happened? But those two words of empowerment and community, I love the way you just shared that. So thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you, sir, for sharing your messages. I hope a lot of people get to listen to this and learn from those things, because
passing
it on to the next generation is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Passing the mic, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
J-Paul, thank you so much. We want to say a quick thank you to Cuts All and Total Boat, who are making this chapter happen. They're speaking of believing in us. It's been really, really cool to have that help from them.
And you're a big part of Workbench this year, so you're like a big sponsor, and I guess the party tonight is like, it's hosted by this guy.
It's gonna be a good time, folks. I hate that y'all aren't here. Oh man, it's gonna be a good time. Like, I'm just gonna be up there just acting up. I mean, it's just natural for me to just get up and just have fun.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Cool. J-Paul, where can people go to learn more about you, keep up with what you're doing?
So you can go to my Instagram at J-Paul the Carpenter. I also have a YouTube page, J-Paul the Carpenter. But my sister isn't here right now. Me and Elizabeth Akers, we are creating a YouTube series for our renovations. Mm. Elizabeth, she is a interior designer. And you can also see her Instagram and stuff on my Instagram page. I'll be posting a lot about her, a lot about our page, and all of that stuff. So follow us, man.
We'll follow us. We'll put links to all that in the show notes. All right, J-Paul, as we always do, we would love for you to close us out with a toast.
With a toast. Hey, I just want to toast to inspiring everybody.
Yes.
Be yourself. Be you. There's nobody else like you. Do your thing.
Cheers.
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 We just heard from J-Paul the Carpenter. You can find more of what he's doing online on Instagram and YouTube, both at J-Paul the Carpenter, both linked in the show notes. And that does it for this episode of the Storyteller's Tavern. We hope you enjoyed and will join us next time. Until then, you can find us on Instagram at sttavernpod or at sttavernpod.com. Please consider subscribing to hear all episodes from this and future chapters, and consider rating or reviewing us wherever you're getting these episodes. We also welcome your support on patreon.com/sttavernpod. We had some tremendously generous support in making this chapter of the Storyteller's Tavern happen. Thank you first to Cutsall. Whether you're just getting into power carving and wood shaping or are a seasoned pro, they have what you need to make some incredible stuff. Check them out at cutsall.com. Thank you once again to Total Boat. Not only do they make wonderful resin, paint, varnish, and other stuff for makers and DIYers, but they are just outright good people. Check out what they've got at totalboat.com. And last, but certainly not least, thank you to Kristen, Tiff, and the whole WorkbenchCon fam. Head on over to workbenchcon.com to stay in the loop for all of the info about next year's show. The Storyteller's Tavern is an independent production of Lee Northrop and me, Mush Hughes. I do the music and the production for the episodes, and you can find us on Instagram at TheTinkerTeacher and MakerMush, respectively. Finally, if you or a maker you know have a story that you'd like to share at the tavern or just want to drop us a line, you can send us a message on Instagram or reach out to us at contact@sttavernpod.com. But until next time, keep making cool stuff, do good, and be well.